Heavenly Father, we just pray that the entrance of your word tonight will bring life, and as Phil reads, illuminate your word, and as Will brings it, back your word up with your power, that we may be changed into your glory and likeness. Amen.
Our reading tonight. Does it sound on? Our reading tonight, okay, is from page 994 in the Pew Bibles. We are reading the book of Matthew, and we're reading from chapter 24. Reading from verse 14. The parable of the talents, not the parable of the gold, bags of gold as identified. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. Each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also, he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Not long after, the master of those servants came back and settled the accounts with them. He who received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also who received 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also who received the 1 talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have your talent." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered no seed. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So now, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord to us tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Flo. Well, you may be thinking, if you know that tonight's supposed to be a vision talk, how on earth I can weave in a vision talk on the back of that really quite scary bit of scripture. And that would be a very good question, but let me let you into a secret. Although this is going to be like a vision talk tonight, it's not going to be one of those vision talks where I'm laying out a 5-year plan with a whole load of objectives and the order that they've got to be done, and it's not going to be like that at all. What this is going to be is an encouragement to us all to live fearlessly. Because I think if we're going to fulfill the vision of the church, we need to have courage. So this passage is a challenge to us, just like a vision should be. And we all know why a vision is vital, because there's a proverb that says, without a vision, the people perish. But we need courage to turn a vision into reality. But so many of us are fearful. Now, let me just unpack that a little bit. I'm not saying we are fearful in the sense that many desperately sad people in the world are literally in fear of a missile landing on their town or their house. It's not that kind of a fear. It's more a fear of failure. We all have different sorts of fears. So, for example, I'm standing in front of you tonight. I'm fairly fearful, because whenever you talk about vision, I'm always fearful that you're not going to like it, you're not going to sign up to support it, you might even walk out. I've had that before. That I ask myself, will anybody find it a compelling vision? Or another fear is, you know, is it too big, the vision? Is it too big and scary that you're just going to be sitting there thinking, well, that's just completely crazy. That is never going to happen. Or conversely, you're thinking, Will, have you not got any faith? Of course we can achieve that. That's not exactly a compelling vision. So I know what fear is like. And when it comes to answering the question of whether a vision is achievable, there are two perspectives to look at it, aren't there? There's the, is it achievable in human terms? I.e., have we got enough money? Have we got enough time? Have I got enough mental capacity? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you know, if you're into spreadsheets, like, you sort it all out. You know, there's even a parable about the builder, you know, considering the cost before you start. Or do you look at it in kingdom terms and remind yourself that if God is behind a vision, it will succeed. It will come to pass. It might not come to pass in your timings. It might not come to pass in the way you thought it would come to pass. But with God, nothing is impossible. So we mustn't fear. Now, clearly, there are some instances in life where it's good to be fearful and have that adrenaline rush, like if you're standing on a level crossing and there's a train coming towards you, that's good fear. But we mustn't be afraid of failure, because a fear of failure, I think, affects many of us. I have had the privilege to pray with many, many of you, including some people who, by worldly standards, are incredibly successful. And believe you me, they all have fears. Am I going to lose all my money on the stock market? Am I going to lose my family because I'm working 18 hours a day and I never see them? We all have these fears. And I think many of us tonight will have a fear that is holding us back. The fear of failure can paralyze your potential. If it will keep you from becoming what God intended you to become, it can limit the purpose in your life. Has anyone here ever thought, oh, I've got a dream of doing this, but you know what? I'm scared of doing that because I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure if it's going to work. You read about this, don't you? You know, people who start up their own businesses. It's an immensely fearful time. So this sort of fear can kill your dreams if you're not careful. It can even keep you single if you want to get married. So needless to say, the Bible has got something to say about this. And it's here in the parable of the talents. And I asked for a different version of the Bible to be read tonight because the NIV translates it as a bag of gold, which in one sense it is. But talents works better for the purpose of my talk. Because when we talk about talent today, we think about Britain's Got Talent, right? We're talking about he's got a talent of singing, she's got a talent of cook, you know, whatever it is. But actually, in the Old Testament, a talent refers to a measurement of gold. And in the Old Testament, it equated to the weight of a man. So we are talking about a lot of gold, particularly after Christmas. In New Testament terms, it equated to a laborer's wage for over 20 years. So 20 years of salary for a laborer, that's equivalent of a talent. So however we're looking at it, we are looking at a phenomenal amount of money here. And you know, the story, as Flo read it to us, the first guy comes back, 100% return on his investment. That is pretty awesome, isn't it? If anyone here knows of something I can invest in that's a rock-solid investment with a promise of 100% return when I go away on a trip, take my money. And this, of course, is a parable. So it's a story that people can engage in that Jesus uses as a vehicle to explain a deep truth. And so this is Jesus talking about the fact that he is invested in you and he's going to ask you what you've done with his investment when you get to meet him in heaven. He'll say, what did you do with what I gave you? Now, my job as your pastor is to prepare you for that moment. Bit depressing, I know, but this is my job. I want to prepare you for the moment when you are asked, what did you do with what I gave you? What I entrusted to you? The gifts, the talents, the skills I loaned to you while you were my child on earth. Because he wants to say, well done to you. He wants to say, as we heard in Scripture, come and share in your master's happiness. And we have the same with the second servant, slightly less, well, still 100% return, but only two talents. And then the third servant comes and says, I was afraid. I was afraid I'd lose it, and I hid it. Here we have the fear of failure. He played it safe. Have you ever heard of that expression, nothing ventured, nothing gained? I went out and I buried it in the ground. Now, this is important because some of us will not be using your gifts for God's purposes. You won't be using them for his glory. And it's important you understand what the master's reaction is. He says, "You wicked and lazy servant." He didn't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Look, I can be a bit harsh. I know you think that I reap where I don't sow and I harvest where I don't have any. You know, I get all that. Listen, don't worry about it. I forgive you. Just make sure next time you do it better." He doesn't say that. He says, "You wicked and lazy servant." The master is seriously hacked off with this servant. He said, "You know, you should at least have put it in the bank and got some interest on it. And my greatest fear in life is that you or me will be standing before God on the day of judgment. And he says, you did nothing with what I gave you. You just used it for yourself. You served yourself. You built up your own little empire. You didn't help anybody else, and you didn't glorify my name." And we cannot allow that to happen. It's awful. It's really tragic. You know, this is a really harsh bit of teaching from Jesus. And if that isn't enough, if the, I'm going to use an army word, the rollicking isn't enough, he then takes away the talent that he gave the guy and gives it to the guy who's invested it really well. "To those that use well what I give them, I will give even more." Now, this, I think, is a principle that God has established. Now, this isn't the prosperity gospel here, but I think whatever you use well in life, God will give you more of. Okay? So if you use your time well, I think God will give you more time. Have you ever come across that expression where if you want something done quickly, give it to a busy person? Do you know, it is unbelievably true that I've noticed it through decades of work. If you want to get something done quickly, give it to a busy person. How does that work? You know, and it's completely counterintuitive, that, isn't it? But they're making good use of their time, so it's like they get more time. And I think it's the same with our money. If we use our money well, God can give us more of it. If you use our talents well, God can bless those talents. He can make us even better with them. And on the other hand, if you don't use it, you lose it. Talent that sits on the shelf rots. And it's a pretty harsh reaction. "You're lazy. You're wicked. I'm going to take away what I gave to you because you're not using it for my intended purposes." Now, listen, it is harsh, but this is the point of the story. You never please God by playing it safe. Amen? You never please God by playing it safe. If you never take any risks in life, you don't need any faith. We need to be risk takers, don't we? We're not called to live a safe, easy life. We're never going to get anywhere unless we take risks, unless we step out in faith. Because if we don't have any faith, you're being unfaithful. So let me say that again. If you never take any risks in life for the benefit of other people, to glorify God, then you don't need any faith. And if you don't have any faith, you're being unfaithful. And God says, that's wicked. That's wicked. It's not an option for us. I made you to make a difference, not just to live for yourself, the Lord would say to us. We need to be making a difference using our gifts. So you can see how important it is to get rid of this fear of failure in our lives so we're not at risk of burying our talents in the ground. I am afflicted by a fear of failure. I came into the Lighthouse a while ago, and Lucia said, darling, would you do the talk? And, you know, normally I'm not filled with fear. I'm always nervous before I preach, but, you know, doing a talk doesn't hold any fear from your lovely, wonderful congregation. I don't feel anyone's going to throw anything at me. I was almost paralyzed by fear when I came into the Lighthouse that afternoon, because it was seething with children who, let me say, whose behavior, and I think the politically correct way to describe this, is called challenging. It was a challenge. It was a challenge. And I was sitting at the front there like this. Joe even took a photograph of me and sent it to Jacob to say, I have never seen Will looking so scared in my life. If I have any talents for communicating the gospel, they were firmly buried in the ground at that moment. I didn't even want to remember where I'd buried it in the ground. But my team got a grip of me, pushed me forward onto the stage, and I managed to speak for 90 seconds, I think it was. So we're all afflicted by this sense of fear sometimes. I'm looking at Caroline over there. I remember back in the old days doing assemblies at Boughton Meadows School. Was it 700 children, 600? Hundreds of children. And I'm there at the front. I mean, what on earth do I do? Caroline's there with me. She's my security blanket. She's a teacher and she knows all she has to do is, I can't remember what the signal was. That's it. Like that. And suddenly it just, everything went quiet. I thought, that is a spiritual gift, if ever is there one. There have been many times. We have to get rid of this fear of failure. We have to step out in faith. And so what on earth has this got to do with our vision? Well, I guess I feel that things are really going to happen in 2024. And I feel like I'm a surfer. Now, I've never actually been surfing, but I've watched enough videos on Instagram to kind of know, you know, there's all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, that we're there, we've paddled out, and we're lying on our board like this, you know, looking really cool, suntan, GoPro camera on the front. And we turn around, and there is this massive mother of all waves coming. We must not be fearful. We must get up on our board and we must surf this wave, because our numbers, our attendance, okay, so I got an email from the diocese the other day saying, hey, isn't it amazing? We've just had the stats in for October and we know exactly what's happening in the diocese. The diocese as a whole is back to 84% of its pre-pandemic attendance. 84%. They're really celebrating that. We are at 104%, Lorna. Is it 104? Something like that. 104%. We're growing. We're bigger than we were pre-pandemic. Thank you. There's new people coming every day. We had loads of people at the 11 a.m. this morning. It's fantastic. Alpha, I've just got to mention this. You know, most of you have been here a while. You know every Christmas we plug Alpha, right? You're probably sick and tired of me mentioning Alpha by the time it comes to Boxing Day. You know, there's leaflets galore and all the rest of it. And all the 14 years I've been here, I think most often we get two or three people for a January course. I can just remember reflecting in the new year saying, guys, what did we do wrong? We laid on all these Christmas services. You know, the gospel was preached, the invitations were handed out, and just nobody's interested in coming. Well, this Alpha course, my living room is absolutely rammed with people. It's fantastic. And there are young people there as well. I think there's a thirst for the gospel. I think Aslan is on the move. And I think that wave is coming. And so really the whole point of this talk is not to give you the five-year plan and go through everything, how we're going to achieve it, but it's just to encourage you to live fearless lives, to get on that surfboard and join me. And the metaphor is like really crazy because there's only one person per surfboard, but you know what I mean. And to get surfing that big wave that is coming. Because we are not just going to cruise on because we're afraid of failure, because we're afraid there won't be enough money, because we're afraid there won't be enough people, because we're afraid people won't turn up. We are going to step out in faith, and we're going to keep doing what we do, which is preach the gospel, worship God, make friends, and change the world. We're going to take risks. Now, an example of that risk, the PCC has to set a budget. Now, you all know, probably, you know, the whole budget setting process. Emails go out to the ministry leaders. How much do you need for 2024? So we all send our wish list back in. You know, OP needs a jacuzzi, apparently, for some prayer meetings. I'm only joking. And anyway, there was a big gap between the projected income for this year and what we wanted of £50,000. Now that's a lot of money, and despite my complete ignorance about how anything to do with money, even I realized that probably was a slightly foolish level of deficit. So Brian and Tracy and Harry and the wonderful, amazing team we have looking after the money, my goodness me, thank you Lord for them. They go back to the drawing board and they get the salami out and they start slicing. So all the budget holders are told, you can't do this, you can't have that, we're going to defer that. And, it's fine. This is what life is. So after that process, we're now at a £23,000 deficit for next year. But you know what? We're going to step out in faith. Because I have no doubt God will sort that out. But there are things that we had been hoping to do that we won't be able to do. Things that we wanted to do better, but actually we're just going to have to keep doing what we're doing. But I want to encourage you now that there are some amazing things going on in the church at the moment. This is as we worship God, make friends, and change the world. Or to put it another way, how we love God, love the church, and love the world. And we're here for mission. That's the only reason why God instituted the church is for mission. So I'm going to start with mission and outreach. So we have this building down in town called the Center. The newcomers may not even know it's there. It was given to us by a complete miracle for £1 a year's rent in 2015, a complete gift from the Lord. It's absolutely thriving. The food bank is based there. It had its busiest year last year. There was a shopper going shopping because our food bank, you know, this is Buckingham, you know, we do things really well here. So it's not just like any old food bank. You put in your personalized order and one of the shopping team goes out and adds things to it that the person needs. So for example, if it's a young mum, perhaps there might be nappies or SMA or something like that to go in for the family. So it's done incredibly well. Coffee and chats, thriving. Tea and chat. There's an alpha course is just finishing down there that's been a huge success. The repair cafe is starting up there soon. I thought I might take my Land Rover down there and see what they had to say. And they've extended the lease until 2027 at £1 a year. Isn't this fantastic? The community lunch on a Tuesday. Many of you will have been to the community lunch. I think it's about 70, 80 people come in for a free three-course meal. Totally free. And it runs at a profit. Runs at a profit. Because it's God's kingdom. It's God's economy. Nowhere else can you have a free meal enterprise that runs at a profit. But God is on it, you see, because nothing is impossible with God. And then we're supporting various mission partners, Open Doors, the persecuted church, St. George's in Baghdad, sharing of ministries abroad, which sends training teams out at the invitation of bishops, mainly in the global south. So Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, places like that. And our vision, part of our vision, is to send some teams out. It will take time to organize and get the training going. But, you know, one of the quite fat bits of salami that got cut off was £4,000 from that budget. And then we've run a bereavement course. Great success. It's, you know, tragic that there are so many in the congregation struggling with bereavement, but that was a huge help. We're running a marriage course at the moment. Huge success. It's why the fairy lights are still up. And no one at the 9 a.m. service has complained. Thank you, Lord. Actually, no, I'm being really unfair on them. They probably really like them. But, you know, the marriage course is so important because we have to understand there is a spiritual battle going on, guys. We're in Ephesians 6 territory because when that wave comes, Satan's going to be in there, and I'm just stretching the analogy, but there'll be a few sharks cruising around trying to take us out. And Christian marriages are high up on the enemy's target list. We need to be praying for Christian marriages. And one way to protect your marriage, just like to protect your car from an unexpected breakdown, you get it serviced. Doesn't mean to say your car's rubbish. You always get your car serviced and get it MOT'd. Come to the next marriage course. No pressure on Brian and Tracy to run another course, of course. We're missing an outreach pastor. You know, we remember Ollie very fondly. That post is in abeyance at the moment because of financial challenges. But we invest heavily in children, youth, young people, and families. Sam is doing a great job with the youth. He's really getting in his stride, and he's also, I think, doing great work with students. More and more students are coming to church, not just at this service, but at the others as well. We want to start a new youth group at the 11 a.m. We've got nowhere because Lucia's children's groups occupy all the real estate. But I've already had a response from this sermon at the 9 a.m. congregation, and James and Cynthia Tooley, who live just down there, have said, come and use our sitting room on a Sunday morning. That's fantastic news. And Lucia's going great guns with the kids and the families, building on all the great work that has gone on before. The kids is in reach. It's terribly important looking after our own church family children. But the families is outreach. So she does the Ark. She's restarting Women's Heaven. And she's explained to you about the Lighthouse as well. But our schools ministry is a blank. We've got the Royal Latin covered because wonderful Sarah is the RE teacher there. Sam has, praise God, got a foot in the door at Buckingham Secondary School. But I hark back to the good old days when we had a wonderful team that was going, and was it every week or every other week, something like that, into all the primary schools. Financial, you know, we just can't afford that. But there's some quite good news. Because we have appointed Andrew Pegg as our intern starting in June. Stand up, Andrew. And just to give you, you know, this is how we, I mean, I must drive some of the finance team completely crazy. But when a really sound young person comes up to you at the end of a service and said, I'm just finishing my undergraduate degree. I'd love to come and work in this church for 2 years for not very much money. You like bite their arm off. So without even checking whether we had any money at all, I just said, yes, come. You can start whenever you want type of thing. Because I knew that had to be of God. That had to be of God. And so I reported back to the standing committee. I said, we've got this great guy, you know, but we've got no money. And they were saying, no, there is definitely no money. We're already looking at a 50K deficit. You are not having any more money. I said, okay, I'm going to go and find some. And I did. And we've got a gift, a large gift, to pay for him. See, that's stepping, yeah. That's taking a risk and stepping out in faith, because you have this sense of the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I want you to do. The office team is doing amazingly well on pretty limited hours because we can't afford to pay them any more hours. The production team does an amazing job. The live stream is so vital. It's manpower intensive. We've got a great vision to improve the setup, and I mean, I'm excited if the PCC approves to the expenditure to announce what our plans are for that. And then finally, there's the weekend away. Now, Brian and Tracy are probably going to lynch me at the end, although I think I've said this before, and they were at the 11 a.m., and they've been very nice to me since I said this. But so my risk is I have not cleared this with the PCC. So, but anyway, I'm sure they'll go along with it. But I think the reason why we've only got 44 people signed up for our parish weekend away, and we need 200 to come. We need 200 to come. Otherwise, it's just like a complete waste, okay? Is because you're looking at it, and partly you're thinking, gosh, September, that's a long time away. I don't know if I can commit to that. But many of you may be thinking, it's 160 quid. And there's two adults and three kids, and that's a lot of money for a weekend. So one of the joys that came out of last weekend when the Bradford team came down here is they said to me, we had an amazing parish weekend away. Loads and loads of people came. I said, I've got to confess, I was immediately assuming it was like a really cheap parish weekend away because they really don't have very much money. I was thinking like he was going to tell me it was like 50 quid ahead for the weekend. He said it was £150. And I was thinking to myself, how on earth did you take your church for a parish weekend away at £150 a person? When you have so little, and I know they have so little because I've been there and I've seen it with my own eyes. And he said to me, do you know what we did, Will? We said, sign up for the parish weekend and pay what you can afford. And if you can pay more than the £160, then please pay that. And you know, at the end, they had £1,000 surplus. Yeah, that's God's economy. And I think that's what we need to do now. So my challenge, you're being challenged all over the place. I'm so sorry. You're going to leave here thinking, oh my goodness, I can't cope with any more of this. But take one of those leaflets that you've been given, or pick one on the way out, and please sign up to come on the parish weekend away. And pay what you feel you can afford. And if you can pay more, then it would be wonderful if you could pay more. And I trust God, just like the other year when we went away to High Lee, we took up, was it £4,000 or £5,000 in the collection? I was not expecting that. It was incredible. And it wiped its face. And we're going to do the same this year. So take a leaflet, sign up, and come, because it will be awesome. And the more people who go, the better it will be. So as the band comes up, we're doing so much really well. I'm sure, you know, you've heard me say that. Did you? Okay. We are doing, and I'm not saying we should do more, because we are a busy church. But I think we can do what we do, we can do it better, and we can go deeper. But it's tight. We need a few more hands on deck. We need a few more financial resources. So what has this got to do with living fearlessly? Well, we need to step out and take some risks. Just like me not wanting to come and do the talk at Lighthouse, you may be fearful that you might have failure or something crazy like that. It might be holding you back from helping in a ministry here. Don't let fear hold you back, because we all fail. And as long as we don't repeat the failures, it's a learning process. So let's join together to live lives unashamed of yesterday and unafraid of tomorrow, because we have a vision to make a difference here in Buckingham and in different parts of the world, and we're succeeding. But there's more to do to get closer to God, to go deeper with one another, and to reach out further. Now, somebody sent me a message this morning. They had a bit of scripture for us, and I'm going to share that with you. It's from Matthew 5:14 in the Passion Translation, and it says, "Your lives light up the world, for how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop?" And I was sent a picture this morning after the sermon, and hopefully it's going to come up. Do you see that photograph of the parish church? Do you see, it is like incandescent in the sunshine. In fact, it's so bright, the best way of seeing it is to look at its reflection. It's quite scriptural. You know, I don't think we can ever behold the face of God without just being completely burnt up by it, but we can see in the reflection. And I think it's a prophetic vision of what's going to happen this year. We need to be living lives that bring light to this dark world. Let us be unafraid to burn brighter. Amen? Wow, that's good. Well, listen, join me as we go surfing. But I think I'm handing over to Opie now. Oh my goodness, 36 minutes. I'm going to be in trouble.